Sometime middle of this month, I was about to enter my car after service. I was about to go home and somebody intercepted me and said, "I have to thank you very much." And I said, "What for?" He said, "December last year, you gave us an instruction. You said everyone that has contributed to your success in career or in any sphere of your life, make sure you buy them a gift. Write a note, pour out your heart, and let them know I appreciate you." So just because you said it, I obeyed. Because a venture capitalist was trying to do something in Nigeria, gave me a contract, I did it, and that was it. But I sent him that gift and sent him the note. Now, months after, he wanted to start a Lagos office. Now, guess who he called? That young guy. I said, "I want to put you in charge." Now, this young man moved from earning 300,000 monthly to 14 million monthly. Not because of prayer and fasting, but because of a hamper that he sent. Some of you, Christmas passed, even Merry Christmas, you didn't send to some people. The hamper you didn't send might be hampering. Many things in your life will not come by labor, but by relationships. I can tell you stories of people who will say, "What? In all my years, I have never seen anybody who will take the initiative to do something like this." And they will mark you out for favor. And guess what? The dangerous thing is, because it's a soft skill, people won't tell you. It won't show up in your HR's reports. It's not part of your KPIs. It's possible that everyone in your work department sent a hamper to your boss except you, and you don't know. They won't tell you.
And you're here praying for favor.
This is the word of the Lord. As you leave this place, go and do the right thing. All right. I want to share briefly on preparing for 2026. So you can call that the theme. That's not what I'm going to title it. I'm just letting you know that that's the direction. I'm giving it a weird title. I'm going to call it Spiritual Soft Skills. I would explain. Spiritual Soft Skills, SSS. And what am I trying to imply by this? You see, career people have very likely heard the phrase soft skills before. And soft skills will refer to things that are not part of your core competence, not part of the reasons that you were employed, but somehow contribute to your overall success. Things that make you trustworthy and make you a good team member, and things like that. They might not be part of the real reasons you were employed, but they contribute to your overall success. And in the same vein, I believe that there are spiritual soft skills, to the degree that when you talk about the key indices of spiritual devotion, the things that come to your mind are prayer, fasting, and all those things. But from my personal experience and study with the Word of God, there are things that people don't really talk about but are very important. You see, one of the examples I've been giving for the past 2 years, this is big on my spirit. And that's why if you've been following my teaching ministry, you've heard me talk around the points I'm going to be sharing with you. God promised Abraham a child and he had waited close to 3 decades. And you would expect that as a reward for such faithfulness and tenacity and consistency, that when the child is finally ready to come, that angels will appear in the sky and God is going to tell Abraham, "Hey, it's time." But that's not what happened. God and 2 angels acted like they were passing Abraham's house, save for the fact that Abraham was a hospitable person and took initiative to honor the strangers. Not knowing that he was honoring the Lord himself, he would have missed an encounter. Listen to me. There are successes in your Christian journey that will not answer to how prayerful you are and how much fasting that you know and how many Greek words that you know. It will answer to spiritual soft skills like being nice. Did you hear what I just said? That's a very spiritual hack right there, to the degree that in the New Testament you can be told, don't forget to be nice to strangers, because people in so doing have entertained and encountered angels. And this is a spiritual principle, but also a practical principle. You see, before I move on, let me quickly share a testimony. Sometime middle of this month, I was about to enter my car after service. I was about to go home and somebody intercepted me and said, "I have to thank you very much." And I said, "What for?" He said, December last year, you gave us an instruction. You said, everyone that has contributed to your success in career or in any sphere of your life, make sure you buy them a gift, send them a hamper, write a note, pour out your heart, and let them know, I appreciate you. And he said, so I obeyed. Just because you said it, I obeyed. Because somebody, a venture capitalist, was trying to do something in Nigeria, gave me a contract, I did it, and that was it. But I sent him that gift and sent him the notes. Now, months after, he wanted to start a Lagos office. Now, guess who he called? That young guy. I said, I want to put you in charge. Now, this young man moved from earning 300,000 monthly to 14 million monthly. Not because of prayer and fasting, but because of a hamper that he sends. Are you Jesus Christ? Because some of you, Christmas passed, even Merry Christmas, you didn't send to some people. The hamper you didn't send might be hampering.
If you're the high pipe, well.
Listen, I'm jokingly serious. These are serious issues. This is spiritual soft skills. Because I know you found many people who know how to pray but are not nice. They are in church. And you embrace them because it's incumbent on you as a Christian. But you know that this person is badly behaved. Tongue speaking, badly behaved person. Tell the person by my side, I say spiritual soft skills. You see, someone came to me, someone I really, really care about years ago, and said, sir, you know my story. I did well in school. This is somebody who 9 out of 10 times in school had A's. First few years, never had a single B. So I think first 2 years, they're about 5 point CGPA and all of that now. So got a job somewhere and something was happening. All the colleagues are promoted. She's not promoted. And now she's convinced that the devil is playing games with her, playing games with her career, and comes to me and says, please, I want you to pray for me. As I was about to pray, the Lord said, ask her questions. Ask her, what is her experience like in the office? So I asked her that. And she said, oh, that office full of eye service. Because every time we resume, all my colleagues will go to the senior colleague, the boss woman, and say, good morning, my boy. I mean, I just sit on my desk and I do a good job. I don't like eye service. Ah, I said, you don't need prayer. I give you a counsel from heaven. When you resume on Monday, go and greet her, good morning, ma. On Tuesday, go and greet her. On Wednesday, go and greet her. I said, do that for 4 months. If nothing changes, then come, I will pray for you. And in the space of months, if I remember correctly, she was promoted twice. See, let me tell you something. And that's part of the disadvantage of schooling, because school has lied to you that life is just garbage in, garbage out, that if you only work hard, that everything is going to be nice. You don't need anybody. Just work hard. Spiritual soft skills. If you don't learn these things, you will make God look like a liar, because you are praying, you're fasting, you're exerting yourself, and it looks like nothing is changing. Because maybe what happened to Abraham has happened to many of us many times, but when the angels came, we missed that Kairos season, and so they said, well, next year. And they came the next year, and you still didn't know better, so they said, well, next year. I'm letting you know that there are some things that are allotted to you in your destiny, things that you prayed for, but will be received by good character. Hard skills may open the door. Soft skills will keep you in the room. And so the first one I want to mention, and I want to try to rush as quickly as possible, and from the flow of thought, you should already anticipate what the first one will be. It is honor. Did you hear what I said? Please, what did I say it is? And I'm calling it a soft skill because it's surprising. Many people don't know this. They don't know it. And it's costing people a lot. And they don't even know. And unfortunately, our charismatic Pentecostal experience has made us attribute everything to spiritual attacks. So we don't even see what is happening. You know, I was talking to a very wealthy man who told me about a pastor he sent 100 million to, and the person responded with text, thanks. $100 million, thanks. And of course, from the way the person was talking to me, that was going to be the last time ever. Now, the pastor will be wondering what happened. Any enemy that shut the door of favor, what are you waiting for? You know, you get what I'm saying? Listen to me. If there was anywhere you were receiving favor and it stopped suddenly, go and investigate. There might have been something that you did or did not do that closed that door. And many people don't even know it. I told a story in the first service. My wife was the one who told me this. Senior pastor friends told us how that the Lord led them to help one young girl and pay for her fees paid away through school in the U.S. I mentioned the country so that you will make a quick mental note of how expensive it must have cost. Sponsored her through school in the U.S. Never wanted anything in return, but one day, it so happened that they had a preaching engagement or something that required they would travel, and now they have kids. Who is going to watch the kids? Just one day. How many days? And they reach out to the person, can you please help us watch the kids? I say, of course, and send them a rate card that she's going to charge for babysitting. True life story. True life story. My wife is here. When you sit people down, pastors here, let me advise you. Before you waste time praying for people, sit them down, ask them. You'll be surprised that they are the witch in their own life. Some people are the ones doing themselves. Study the Bible carefully. There is nobody that God did business with that was not a relationship expert. Think about it. And because what I'm talking about are soft skills, these are not the things that will immediately jump at you when you're reading their story. But when, now that I mentioned it, think through, like all these people, like David, even I, when I'm reading the story of David, I hiss, like, bro, you are too loyal. Making excuses for Saul, defending him, crying when he died. Bro, what is wrong with you? What's all this? It seemed like too much Christianese for me. But maybe that's one of the reasons he was a man after God's own heart. Are you getting what I'm saying? They were men of loyalty. They kind of... Think about Joseph. His brothers were convinced that his father was showing favoritism. Until the same Joseph goes to Potiphar's house and is favored, goes to prison and is favored, goes to the palace and is favored. Alas, it was something that Joseph had learned. Ay, Jesus. That even if God has said in your destiny that your brothers will bow to you, all the prophecies on Joseph's life were dependent on his ability to look at sad people in prison and walk up to them and say, why are you sad? I hope you know that that's what... Are you getting what... If that morning he was not hospitable, it would not have happened. Hard skill, the ability to interpret dream. Soft skill, the ability to see people who are sad and say, what's wrong? You look down, cheer up. And many times when you're reading the story of Joseph, all that will stand out to you is that he could interpret dreams. But it's a totally different thing. I was teaching on this when I was talking about handling pain and suffering. Because some people, just because they are going through a tough time, they are in prison, that shuts their bowel of compassion, not knowing that it is that very thing that is your way out. You are angry, so you transfer aggression. Talk to a people anyhow. No difference. We have different justifications for it. You must learn to honor. If you don't learn what I'm saying, it will be as if prayer is not working in your life. I'm telling you the truth. Let me tell you something. If you look around you at all the successes in your life and every single result is attributed to your labor, something is wrong. I believe in hard work. I'm hardworking. The Bible teaches it. But listen, some things, favor should supply them in your life. It is not everything that you ought to use your money to buy. Some of the things you are saving money for, relationships can give you for free. If you just learn what I'm telling you. And like I said, with that example, hamper. I can tell you stories of people who will say, what? In all my years, I'm talking about men of repute. In all my years, I have never seen anybody who will take the initiative to do something like this. And they will mark you in your mind, in their mind. Mark you out for favor. And guess what? The dangerous thing is, because it's a soft skill, people won't tell you. It won't show up in your HR's reports. It's not part of your KPIs. It's possible that everyone in your work department sent a hamper to your boss except you, and you don't know. They won't tell you. And you're here praying for favor, bro. This is the word of the Lord. As you leave this place, go and do the right thing. Go and do the right thing. Please, are you listening to me? Many things in your life will not come by labor, but by relationships. And there will be people in your life, you know, it's very notable. You read the book of Revelations, and the Bible talks about the angels of the churches. And when you look, you realize it's talking about human beings. And why is he calling pastors angels? Because angel simply means messenger. Anyone that God sends to you is an angel. Have you heard the phrase God sends? God sends. Some people are God sends. And when God sends people your way, you must discern them properly. Honor them properly. And it's just the simple things. Like, for instance, some of you, I don't know where we learn it, you don't greet. Like, even when you sat down, the person by your side, you didn't say hello. Listen, let me tell you something. The last time I was in this hall preaching, I said it in the first service, there was somebody who sat here, very unassuming. But of the top 10 tech companies in Nigeria, he funded 4 of them personally. If you know the amount I'm talking about, your head should be sparking. That's his career. He's an angel investor. You see that word again, angel, God sent. I will not be surprised if the person who sat beside him despise and did not. You can never tell from his dressing. And maybe the person did not say hello. So somebody by his side might be praying in that same service, Lord, favor, favor, favor. And when he sat down, just greets. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Many church people don't know these things. They don't know these things. Maybe the answer to the prayer you prayed standing up was just to greet when you sat down. That's it. Just greets. Or an icebreaker, a simple compliment. Sorry, I have to say that's a nice shirt. Well, you aura for aura, you just squeeze face. Time is fast spent, so I'm going to move quickly. So let me break it down for you. Three ways that you can demonstrate honor. You must learn to give gifts. Now, let me tell you, coming from a pastor, it should make more sense to you. If it is only church you are giving to, you may be in trouble. I'm glad you pay tithes and offering. But please, anybody, instrument, do you know what it means? That maybe in that your office you could have been sacked and somebody who is not your blood relative that just likes you stood for you. Do you know what it means to have somebody in the executive, in the directory that just likes you and you know has your back? That's not something to take lightly. You must honor. Oh boy, I'll tell you a story because I mean it's only fair since I said it in the first service. You know, there's somebody who has been instrumental at many key points, you know, in my life, especially recently. And I'm looking at this man. What can you give this man? You know, there are some people you can't give anything. When I tell you there are people who have everything, I'm not joking. I mean it literally. I don't mean it metaphorically. Are you listening to what I'm saying? There are people who have anything they don't have, they don't want. So, as I was there, thinking, what can I do, Holy Ghost? What can I do? His son came back from school and ran, you know, and, you know, even the way the boy was talking, my mind was like, rich children. Because he just came. Dad, I finally figured out the dog I want you to buy for me. So my ear stood up. And I'm listening. So when I said dog, my mind went to Alsatian, Rottweiler, which one? But like I said, rich children. He said, Brichon Frise. Oh, ho. I thought it was only me. Brichon Frise. I quickly Googled it. I found it in Russia. Here, I'm telling you for a reason. Listen, the reason you must appreciate what I'm telling you is this. Many people who do these things never say it. Brothers and sisters, I bought that dog from Russia. I found in 7 days it was in his house. Because I mean, there's nothing I can give your father, but there's something I can give you, son. Some people think favor is abstract. It's always abstract. That it will just, someone will just see you and like your ear. There are ways to position for it. Are you listening to me? And there are some people, do the best you can. Just show that you care. Be intentional. It doesn't have to be a Brichon Frise. If I even still remember the pronunciation, how it's called, well, I think I'm correct. But just do something thoughtful and meaningful. Are you listening to me? Let's move on. Number two is bravery. And I'm not going to spend too much time on this because I literally have a sermon on this. But if you don't know this one, no matter how anointed you are, you cannot do much for God. I've told you this example many times, but for the benefit of people who maybe just joined this church or don't know it, I will say it again. When God wants David to be king, he anoints David in the secret comfort of his home, and the prophet goes back. What happens from there on will not just be the function of the anointing, but will be the function of bravery, to the degree that when Goliath is bragging, David does not hear a voice from God saying, "Fight Goliath." Did you hear what I just said? In case it never dawned on you, God never told David to fight Goliath. So it means that there are some things that are in your destiny that will answer to bravery and not just the anointing. The anointing can actually supply the bravery. But there must be audacity to say, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine?" See, let me tell you something. If you like, pray from now till next year. If you don't learn bravery, those your fears that are sabotaging your destiny, if you don't face them, a great destiny is always at the other side of fear. Doing what others will scarcely do is what makes you king. Those who are too scared to die will never live. Let me repeat it. Those who are too scared to die will never live. I call it the paradox of purpose. That the moment you have a reason to live, you also have a reason to die. Anything that is not worth dying for is also not worth living for. It's a paradox. The moment you find something worth living for, it will be compelling enough that you can die for it. Think about it in your life. There's almost nothing that you really consider worth living for that is also not worth dying for. The gospel, your children, your spouse, whatever you consider worth living for is also worth dying for. It's the paradox. And so those who are too scared to die are also not going to live. In the Bible, those who save their life will lose it. And so now there are soft skills, phrases that should stand out to you in the Bible, like, "If I perish," that's a hack right there. And Esther also didn't hear from God. It was just audacity. "I'm just going to go. If I perish, I perish. I'm just going to start the business. And if it fails, it fails." This lady, I've been sensing she's my wife. Every Saturday, I will say, "I will talk to her tomorrow." Then I will sit by her side and freeze. But today, hear the word of the Lord. I did prophesy, you did laugh. Today, if I perish, open your mouth and speak. Other guys are not smiling. I'm just telling you. Sometimes I prophesy as if I'm joking.
Are you listening to me?
I illustrated something in first service, so it's only fair that I illustrate it again. Please come. So, imagine this ground level is the starting point, the vantage point for everybody. But now this is a young man who is just like, I graduated from school, but I'm still living with my parents. It's going to take a lot of audacity to get my own house and live by myself. But at least it's going to position me mentally to face my future myself and just realize that nobody's really coming to save me. I have to do this. So it's scary, but I'm going to take a bold step and rent my own house. And for most people, I don't really care if it's fully furnished or not. If it's a mattress on the floor, I'm fine. But guess what? Usually, when you now enter the house, you're not like, ah, God, you helped me do this. I didn't die. I can as well furnish it. Some of you know what I'm saying, right? And then you took another step. You furnished it. And you were like, wow, this is nice. You know what? I'm going to stretch my faith. I want a car. Some of you know what I'm saying. And you, at first it looked insurmountable, it looked difficult, it looked impossible, but the moment you started looking, you now started seeing opportunities you never knew existed. That maybe there's one distant friend that wants to travel to a new country, wants to dispose of the car, doesn't mind you paying in 2.5 years, or there is one more payment plan somewhere or something. You know, now just because you opened your heart to it, now you're seeing opportunities you didn't see before. And before you know it, bam, you have your house and your car fully furnished. And then that's when it hits you. I have house, I have car. I can marry you. For many people, that's how it happened. Trust me, I know. I got married at 24. You should try it. In the next 40 years, I'll be a great granddad. And I won't be 80 yet. I did give you an idea. Think,
You see, I'm giving you a strong point now.
The way some of you are going, your best friend, your son will be calling his son uncle.
Some of you are calculating.
But all I'm illustrating to you is this. All he ever did was take a step. But there is something in creative miracles. When you take a step, it opens you to possibilities that I can now stretch for something more until you know it and you're standing here and your friends just open their eyes and they see you way up there. And it looks fantastic what you did. Meanwhile, all you did part time was take the next step. And so for every opportunity, simple opportunities for bravery that you pass on, in the next few years, the gap will now be the distance between heaven and earth. Thank you very much. See, this one, you will have to exercise it. They can lay hands on you. They can do whatever. You just have to try. It's the story of my life. I don't know where God gave me that audacity from, but it's one of the best things he did for me. And I brag about it. God only tells me things he's sure he wants to do. Because if he tells me, even if I don't have the money, I don't have the network, I will write it down. If it's a company, I will first design the logo, keep somewhere that I can see regularly. I will pray about it. I will start researching on it. Just open up your heart to the possibilities of God. Are you listening to me? There will never be a point in my life that I'm not doing a project that is bigger than me. I'm stubborn like that. I'm biting more than I can chew. That's my destiny. Biting more than you know. Thank God, God gave us a great miracle in the headquarters. You know, and it's incredible. It's incredible. And I said this somewhere, I want to say it again. One of the leading pastors in Nigeria called me. He said, just in case you don't understand what God just did, understand this. Nobody in this nation has ever had this type of property at this age of ministry and at this age of the founder ever before in this country. He says, I've been around long enough to know. He said, what God just did with your ministry has never before in this country been done. That's what he said.
Honestly, you know, something happened. We're having a carol service. So I walked in. I sat in the lounge. That's when it hit me. I said, bro, we are crazy. We really did this thing. You know, honestly speaking, that's what came to my mind. That we are crazy. We did it. And the truth is, we are not fully done. Some expenses sprung up on us. You know, we have like 1.5 million to pay before April. I don't know where it's going to come from. And by the way, I'm just putting it out there. But guess what? That's not even the last big thing we've done. We just paid for the part payment for the foundation for our Abuja place. You know? Honestly, even the foundation is half the money we have. But typical me, I don't know where the rest will come. Just start. Start it first. Listen to me. When God called me in school, I was not the only one he called, though. There are some others, when they saw the pressure, they just went to Zenith Bank. I'm telling you the truth. The way you're laughing, you're not making me feel bad. But now, fact that they give you. I'm telling you the fact. We received the call the same time. We rejoiced about it the same way. But sometimes, the difference is not anointing, no. It's just heart. Are you listening to me? Another example of if I perish, I perish. The four lepers at the gates. And this story is a spiritual parable of what happens in real life. That able-bodied people who don't take action will not see results. But people who are outcasts, kept out of the city because of their condition. They are called disabled people by society. But what was supposed to be a disability now becomes the advantage. They are at the gate because according to Jewish tradition, they are not supposed to mingle with the people. But now, that now gives them the opportunity for introspection in a way that people who are in their comfort zone did not consider. Why sit we here and die? If we sit here, we die. If we go into the city, we may or may not die. Well, if we're going to die, let's make it exciting. Let's just try. And some of you, that's what's missing in your life. Just try. And you're there praying, waiting for God to bless you. But it is until you take steps that God amplifies. Are you getting what I'm saying? Amplifies the sound of the step. It is movement that God blesses. Some of you have calculated too much, contemplated too much. You have done everything but act. Done everything. You know how much it will cost. You know what others are doing. Just do. And if you don't learn this,
This time next year, you'll be at the same point. That's no prophecy of doom. That's just how life is. It's going to take audacity to do things that will change your life. Do you know there are people who are in relationships that will damage their destiny, and they know, some people cannot speak up even for their own self. They can't speak up to save their life. They are in abusive relationships, toxic friendships, and they can't speak up. See, practice it now. Start speaking up for yourself. Some people just fear of the unknown, or just the audacity. Even for little things, you know, one funny thing that happens is when people come to me and say, you know, I'm convinced I'm supposed to be in your church. I saw a vision, this, that, blah, 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 blah. I'm convinced I'm supposed to be in your church. Well, why haven't you come? And what will people say? What will people say? You want to play that game with your destiny? Can never be me. I have made up my mind to be authentic with my life choices. Take the step and stand on it and do it early. Because if you understand the way Kairos timing works, 1 year can alter your destiny irrecoverably. You may never recover. Never. In a ministry like this, 1 year is like 10 years old. If you go and come back, you're lost. I don't even know why I said that. That might be also for someone. You know, but little decisions. I know what it's like to come into a nation like this, and because of the rent prices and just the cost of living, you're no longer entrepreneurial. You just want to have a job and get by. And now the folders of dreams that God gave you, they are getting dusty. I reject it for you. Yeah. It takes bravery, I know. It takes audacity, I know. Sometimes it will take a total overhaul of your entire process to reinvent yourself. You know, a bricklayer can set his goal for 2026 and say, I will lay more blocks in 2026. But he can also say, you know what? I'm going to go to school and get a degree in architecture. It's free to dream. It's free. It's free. Bite the bullet. Is that the expression? Jump in. Just do it. Do it. Reinvent yourself. Re-engineer everything. Decide in the next 7 months, I won't be the same person. Ask everyone who has known me since I clocked 18. What am I saying? 17, since I clocked 17, maybe younger. I have set my gaze at what I was convinced was my destiny, and I never looked back. There has not been a year since then till now that I read less than 10 books. And I'm being modest. There are months I read more than 10 books. 1 month. I know life is full of surprises, ups and downs. But I've discovered something. With tenacity, when you just stay on it, life will yield something to you. I've discovered. Eventually, it won't always go as you planned. But eventually, even if you were aiming for the stars, you will at least fall amongst the sky. Something happened that changed my life. We're going to have our best ever program. God had spoken to me. I knew what the theme was going to be. I knew what I needed to preach. We didn't have a venue. I knew someone who had a venue. But I was shy to ask. And I spoke to a senior colleague. Thank God for that conversation. I'll never forget it. And he asked me a question that has never left me. He said, what is the worst that will happen? It hit me like a brick. I said, it's true. The worst is no. No doesn't kill.
And if it will make me feel better, I will stand before the mirror and say no to myself 200 times just so that I will feel comfortable with it. Why are you so scared? It doesn't kill. At least try. At least ask. And guess what? I asked and they said yes. Now, if I didn't take that first step, maybe it would have spiraled into me not having the nerve to start this ministry. These things have grave consequences in your future. Are you getting what I'm saying? And that's why I live radically the way I do. It's important for my mind. I must keep the mentality of possibilities. If I have songs, I will release an album. If I have an idea, I will do a movie. I see, nobody's going to put me in a box. Nobody. 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 And audacity is powerful. You can slice my life into seven, and each piece will still be powerful. Because if all I was a YouTuber, I'm not doing bad. If all I was a musician, I'm not doing that bad. Are you listening to me? Yes, nobody's stopping you. You just need to want it badly enough to be sure you're following. What's number one? What's number two? I'm laughing because I couldn't finish in first service, so I said I'll be faster in second service. I'm even slower. I'm like, number two? What? Anyway, have you been blessed already? Number three is common sense. Common sense. You know, in 1 Kings chapter 19, Elijah solved his burnout problem with a good sleep and food. Just common sense. It's a soft skill. Knowing how to declutter, take away stress, is a soft skill. Are you listening to me? You see, there is a kind of nonchalance that greatness requires. It's not contradictory to the fact I told you to be brave and do all those things. But just understanding that no amount of anxiety can change the outcomes. So, why will I work? See, let me tell you something. The mistakes I've made. I can't change it. So it's just common sense. Self-care. Sleep. Eat well. Rest well. Relax. I preached a sermon in the UK. I think you should go and look for it. You see, the principle of the Sabbath is a very powerful principle. And it takes trust in God to say, you know what? I will walk 6 days out of seven. I will rest on the seventh day. And I trust the faithfulness of God that if manna is falling every day, on the sixth day, manna for 2 days will fall. That is what was happening. And so God is instilling a mentality in his people that rest will not kill you. It cannot be the few hours I rest that will make me broke. It's not possible. This is the balance I'm talking about. You see, I talked about bravery, yes, but see, rest. It's a spiritual principle. And understand this. It's going to make you more productive. It's not going to reduce your productivity. Sometimes you need a clear mind to get a fresh vision, to refire. I know in church you've learned to have retreats and all those things, but sometimes shut everything down, spend time with your family, rest. It doesn't matter if you're a man of God. I know many men of God that their children does not like them. I made a vow. I love you all. I will not sacrifice my children for this ministry. I will not. If you have discernment, you know I'm not joking. I will shut down anything Yeah? And the paradox is, when you put those structures in your life, there will be balance in your life. You do everything well. Eat well. Some of you, the way you eat, you are not planning long life. You are not planning to live long. It's not prophecy of doom. So put that structure in your life. Listen to me. If you want your knees to carry you when you are 70, go to the gym and start squatting. Are you listening to me? Don't just wish for it. Don't just pray about it. Train for it. It's common sense. Put those structures in your life. Discipline. Discipline yourself. Rest well. Eat well. When you work hard, thank God for savings, but take care of yourself. Invest in yourself. Replenish yourself. Are you listening to me? Stop all those stupid vices. Drinking alcohol. Even people who are agnostic scientists are now telling you, it's not religious bias. According to research, there is no net positive advantage to alcohol, none whatsoever. All it does is reduce your lifespan. All. There is no good alcohol, not even red wine. I'm saying according to recent research. So why are you allowing peer pressure? There are a lot of good. It's branding that makes you think you have to drink that thing. Because there's water, there's juice, and they all taste good. Do you understand? But because you must hold red cup and feel like an adult. You can be a success and still not have grown a spine. You still have this hidden desire to be among. You know, you want people to say you are a strong guy. So big bro like you know they drink. No, I don't. There is nothing to miss there. That on the cat on the right, smokers are liable to die young. You know, say, okay. You know, you open it and smoke. Why are you doing that to yourself? You think the people who allow this spiral into an addiction, you think you are wiser than them? One error can alter your destiny forever. You know, I said it in the first service, I'm saying it again. One error. Just one day that you drank a little too much and you are part of the statistics, the car tumbles. You break your leg, one leg is now like this. Or in anger, you carry a stone and hit someone. I was watching a video years ago. Someone was recording, true life story. Somebody was so angry. Everybody was begging him, he didn't listen. In his anger, he picked a stone. Everybody was begging him. He didn't listen. And he carried the stone and hit the person's head. And the person fell down and died on the spot. You know, there is post-anger clarity. Everywhere go first blur. Now you spend your life in jail. Or maybe they give you 45 years. Add 45 to your age. That's when you now come back and start building your career. Share the words of wisdom. And that leads me to the next point. Emotional intelligence. It's a soft skill. Knowing how to regulate your emotions. Regulate your anger. Some of you, you still have that childhood tendency. They can raise you. You know what they call raise? Somebody calls you a fool. Then someone will now come and say, I can't take it. I can't take it. He abused your whole generation. Huh? You can't handle that. I've said it, I'm going to teach on this in February, because listen, if you don't know this, you know you can be very brilliant at work, but nobody likes working with you. You will lose contracts because of this thing. Because nobody, you are just a lot to deal with. It will affect your marriage. It will affect your finances. You can lose money. I've seen people, because they were angry, they would just say, to hell with you. They're talking to their boss. So you will see, let me tell you, I don't have time to talk about this. It's a soft skill that will affect your destiny. Invest in knowledge. Buy books on emotional management. Study yourself. Why do I react this way? What trauma is feeding this? Research on it. Deal with it. Take small money. Go and give a therapist to work on you. Invest in yourself. Let God do something in your life before something new do you. Are you listening to me? So what's number one? What's number two? What's number three? What's number four? Number five will be financial education. I'm not going to talk on that. But please, study. See, you can have an MBA and be financially illiterate. Because what school teaches you is how to manage the money of rich people. It doesn't teach you how to be rich. Go and learn the real secrets of money making. Are you listening to me? We're having a program algorithm. There's a fantastic man I found, and I recommended him to your pastor. He said he was a bank executive and he had an MBA only to discover he didn't know about money. Because they gatekeep these things. Even the books, there's nothing in there. All those books, they're not teaching you anything. The next soft skill I'm going to touch on, I'll be done in 6 minutes. And I think I want Minister Awonos to just, even if it's two songs, to lead us in a brief session. The next thing, very important, is you must learn to be teachable. I think I can even end here. You must learn to be teachable. If you cannot receive feedback, you are in trouble. You are in trouble. You are in trouble. And it makes me paranoid, because the feedback that you would have received and adjusted your life early, you will now wait until life shows you that you had been wrong all along. And many people realize when it is too late, you can't make the adjustments. You can't make the adjustments. Are you listening to me? There's someone, you know, I love very, very much. But, you know, he found this new interest in rapping. This was sometime 2006. And he was rapping, I kid you not, nursery rhyme rap. You know the rhyme, that's old 90s rap. That the last word will rhyme. Twinkle, twinkle, little, how I wonder what you... That's what he was rapping in 2007. So I asked him, I say, sorry. I said, do you listen to people? Which rappers do you listen to? And I saw he was already getting agitated. So I left him. And then sometime last year, he found my WhatsApp number and sent one of his new releases. The same thing. Almost 20 years have passed. They have left you behind. And it's hard to be friends with people who can't receive feedback. Because now, when you post something, we must repost it. Even though we don't like it, we know that this your business is not going anywhere. but so we won't be bad friends. Because you have insisted you want to do fashion designer. You sew suit, it looks like a raincoat. And we can't talk. Can I tell you something? Learn to receive. In fact, I don't wait to receive it. I ask. My pastors are here. Those who have been with me, I ask, how was the sermon? Was it clear? Could I have done better? What can I improve? I ask. I don't wait. Do you know, there are some people you can't even give that feedback. There are people in church that correct my grammar. Not everybody. You sit and hear the word of God. There are some people. But believe me, there are some people I have told them, anytime you hear me pronounce a word the wrong way, tell me immediately. It happened last week. Nobody say I had a taboo like that, but you get it. But I just want to improve. Stay teachable, stay hungry, and keep improving. Otherwise, the world will leave you behind. Especially at this time we're in. How many of you grew up buying kerosene in your house? When was the last time you heard someone use kerosene to cook? See, I'm letting you know that in one generation, something can go extinct. So it means that there are some things you are doing now that are already going extinct. Some of you, your job, better get side also. The way AI is looking at you. I wish I was joking. Let me shock you. I'm sure many of you did not know this. You heard the theme song for Reboot Camp. Who can stop this move? How many of you did not know that it was AI? Raise your hand. Now I know you will rush and go and listen to it again. That was AI. None of our choristers voiced it. Pastor Pride, did you know? You see the problem? These are the days of the sons of Issachar. You go need understand times. Because your job has finished. You just don't know it yet. Right now, you don't have job. It's not just obvious. It's not just obvious. What is your job? Research assistant. What is your job? Ghostwriter. Ha. Stay teachable and learn to reinvent yourself. What is number one? What's number two? What's number three? What's number four? What's number five? What's number six? Listen, that number one, make sure this year does not run out without you buying a gift and appreciating some key people who have contributed to your life. And let me just chip it in. It's also a spiritual law. Honor your parents. Deliberately honor your parents. Deliberately. Are you listening to me? Please stand to your feet.